If you're hearing talk on the internet, you're listening to TalkZone.com.
It's showtime.
TalkZone.com.
Pro Football Weekly and Basketball News.
We are having a ton of fun bringing it to you this week. We're visiting with Steve Kyler, the editor and publisher at HoopsWorld.com. For everything and anything you need to know about the NBA, go to HoopsWorld.com. And, Steve, I know you were watching earlier this week when the Lakers and Warriors, when Jim's guys got together with Golden State and those back-to-backs, and it was almost like the playoffs started a month early. And we're going to see so many of those matchups, particularly in the West, as we go down the stretch here. But have you seen regular season games so far this year that were as close to a playoff feel as those two were?
It was certainly there. I mean, you got to see Kobe be great. You got to see the Lakers play quality defense. You know, everything was there. I think the only thing that was missing was Pau Gasol. And you start to look at some of those matchups and you say, you can see how good the Lakers are going to be. But I think also everybody tends to overlook how really good Golden State is. And they're good in a lot of different ways than the team last year. They're playing unselfishly. They're getting some great offensive rebounding from Michael Pietrus. They're just all over the place. Those are probably two of the most fun teams to watch in the NBA. But, I mean, we're going to see Utah play some fun games this week. And certainly watching Houston play without Yao Ming's been good, too.
Well, I think the Golden State, they've got some guys that are, shall we say, playmakers. And they have guys who aren't afraid to take the big shot. And I think that the atmosphere, you're absolutely correct, on Sunday, Monday of last week was absolutely electric. And, you know, you got to take your head off to Golden State. And they're going to be a tough out. I mean, you know, if they can hold their whole service, and they've got matchups now with Denver, Dallas, and I thank God we're finished with them. But I think coming down the stretch, they're looking forward to their guns a-blazing, and you get them in that raucous crowd. Out of Golden State, and they're going to be a tough team to knock out. I guarantee you that.
Steve, after a great deal of speculation then anticipation, Donnie Walsh resigns as the CEO of the Indiana Pacers. Now everybody is expecting and speculating that he will take a similar spot with the New York Knicks. Do you expect it to happen? And if it does, where does this leave Isaiah Thomas?
Well, I do expect it to happen. You know, you're dealing with a guy that had a contract with the Indiana Pacers that ran through June, so they're trying to get that resolved, and then once that's done, you still have to negotiate a contract with the Knicks, and I think that's just more of a formality. You know, I've talked to a lot of people about Donnie Walsh coming to the Knicks, and everybody says this, you know, don't discount the fact that Donnie Walsh was the guy that gave Isaiah Thomas his first coaching job. They're close personal friends. They talk on a regular basis. Isaiah has nothing but undying respect for Donnie, and I think that you have to at least entertain the idea that they're going to consider keeping Isaiah in some capacity. You know, everybody knows James Dolan says that's what he'd like to see happen. I think you have to make a coaching change if you really want to make a culture change, and I think you have to send a message. But, you know, everybody that you talk to about Donnie Walsh says two things. He's going to be very deliberate and make his own decisions. And I expect he's going to come in and look at the situation and evaluate from there. It's not going to surprise me to see a coaching change, but it also wouldn't surprise me to see Isaiah kept on in some capacity if he wants to take a role in rebuilding the Knicks like he says he does.
You know, Jim, it is interesting. I don't know about Isaiah Thomas one way or the other, but I do know that I'm a strong believer nobody should be both coach and GM in any major professional sport. It's just too much. And so could Walsh be the best thing that ever happened to Isaiah Thomas as opposed to the end of the road?
Well, I think that a couple things have to happen. Number one, you know, the Knicks have spent money in recent years like drunken sailors because they have the wherewithal to do it. So at some point in time, you know, I think the salary cap issue and how much, you know, indebtedness they want to do has to be addressed. You know, Isaiah inherited bad contracts. You know, I'm not sure they got better or worse, or, you know, you flip the coin. But at least he was willing to take a chance to change some things. Unfortunately, you know, we talk about contracts, but the other end of contracts is players and character and guys really willing to work hard for their salaries and love the job that they do. I thought last year they did that. This year I'm not sure. I think they came back a little complacent, and I think that hurt them more than anything. If they kept their nose to the grindstones and played as hard last year as they did this year, they wouldn't be in this quagmire.
Steve, real quickly, Larry Harris no longer the Bucks general manager. Your thoughts on that situation, which way you think they'll go, and how much work needs to be done to that roster?
Well, you know, I'm kind of torn here because Larry is a very good friend of mine. I've known Larry for a very long time, and I think that if you go back and you look at the timing of a lot of the roster moves, you'd argue those were the moves to make. You know, everybody applauded getting Bobby Simmons. Everybody applauded drafting, you know, Andrew Bogut over, you know, getting Marvin Williams. And I think that really Larry was probably on the right side of a lot of transactions, maybe overpaid a little bit, but I think you have to do that if you're Milwaukee. But at the end of the day, I'd argue that he made good decisions personnel-wise. Where he probably struggled the most was selecting a coach. You know, he took some gambles on some lesser experienced coaches, and I think he's paid the price for it. But at the end of the day, the Bucks needed to make a change. Larry went to ownership and said, look, are you going to renew my deal? They said no. He said, then let me out so that I can go explore other options. And I think that was, you know, very good for everybody, because you want to know where you stand in any situation. And I think the Bucks are going to be very deliberate in who they're looking at. You know, there have been a lot of discussions about maybe Doug Collins coming in, and I think that certainly Kiki Vanderway's name is going to be mentioned. You're going to have a lot of guys looking, and to me, I think John Gabriel, who used to run the Magic, you know, he's primed to get back in the league, and he might be the right guy to do something with that roster. So I don't know that you're going to see a splashy name in Milwaukee, but I certainly think that you're going to see some interesting candidates paraded through there this summer.
All right, folks, we need to make the switch to the NFL, but our thanks to Steve Kyler. Remember, hoopsworld.com for the best in the NBA. Good luck to Jim Clemens. Survive a few more shootouts in the West. Jim, you'll be back with us next week. We've got football for you in just a moment.